Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works. With me is writer Jonathan Strickland.
Howdy.
And we've been looking at some of the most popular articles on the site to get some ideas for podcasts. And today we decided on how LCDs work.
Right.
That's liquid crystal displays. Mm-hmm. And listeners to this podcast probably know what that means.
But they might be looking at one right now, in fact.
Exactly. But a lot of people don't know exactly how they're made. I was one of those. And I went back into the LCD article that we have on the site. And basically, it's the screen that you see on your laptop computer or your desktop display is a sandwich, as we say in the
yep.
South. It's got a mirror. It's got a couple pieces of glass. And in between it, it has something that conducts electricity. And the missing piece in this sandwich is not baloney. It is a panel of liquid crystals. The crystals themselves are sort of in between. You might say, what is a liquid crystal? It's sort of in between a solid and a liquid. And the key is that conductor, the electricity that's behind it, these crystals are twisted. And basically, depending on how much of an electrical charge they receive, they untwist to let more light through. And what you see when you look at the display is the light reflecting off that mirror behind the crystals, and they change to display a different picture, you know, depending on how much electricity red uses or white uses.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, pretty simple thing. You know, they're one of the big things right now. LCDs and televisions, LCDs and laptops and computers.
Right. And that backlight is always on, which is why you hear people talk about, LCDs and contrast with the blacks, because even when your screen is black, it's still backlit. So if you have an older LCD screen, it may not show blacks as well as some of the newer ones. If you were to have your computer on but have a black screen and then turn off the lights, you would still be able to kind of see where the screen was, right?
Yeah, it's sort of a dark gray, you know, deep gray rather than a complete black, like you might see with a plasma television. That's one of the deals that a lot of people who are plasma aficionados prefer that because it has true black.
Right, right. But people also point out that LCD displays tend to be better as far as energy consumption goes.
Sure.
Than plasma. That plasma actually takes up more energy to warm up and keep running. So you would think that LCDs are really the more green conscious way to go if you're going to buy electronics. But we just found out something that that kind of puts this into a different light.
Yeah, I was reading a story. I think it was initially I've seen it in it's actually been in several places. It's Grist magazine, which is an environmental website. You know, it's been in New Scientist, I believe, and it was an article that was based in the Geophysical Research Letters.
No, which that's a page turner.
It is. you know, it's on my coffee table. Unfortunately, I spilled coffee on it and was unable to read this article.
Right.
But it's all about this chemical called nitrogen trifluoride.
Right.
Which is apparently not something you put on your teeth?
No. Nitrogen trifluoride is a gas that's used in the production of LCDs. It's one of several gases that are used. It's used in a thin film deposition. Now, that's kind of not to get too technical, but you use a vapor to create a very thin film, which LCDs need in order to work. And it's not just LCDs. They're used for things like semiconductors and other things as well. The problem is that nitrogen trifluoride's a pretty nasty gas, not just hazardous to humans if you inhale it, although I don't recommend doing that. First of all, it's got a moldy odor, so it doesn't smell very good. And it can also poison your liver and kidneys. So if you're used to having those, I would recommend not taking a big whiff of nitrogen trifluoride. But it also is environmentally hazardous. Turns out it's extremely environmentally hazardous.
Yeah. Try 17,000 times more serious than carbon dioxide.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it's a very big number. The funny thing is, this was actually intended. This gas was actually replacing chemicals called perfluorocarbons, which are greenhouse gases, and they removed those because of environmental concerns that they were contributing to global warming.
Right, and nitrogen trifluoride wasn't even on the Kyoto Protocol's, you know, international climate change agreement. That wasn't listed. So it completely skipped under the radar. It wasn't until this information in the geophysical research letters that people really started to pay attention and say, hey, this stuff is serious business.
That's true. As it turns out, there was so little of it being made around the time of the Kyoto Treaty writing, you know, being written in the 1990s that they really had no idea of the environmental impact of it. But apparently if you if you took all the NF3 produced in 2008, according to the article, and released it in the atmosphere, it would have the same impact as the annual carbon dioxide emissions of Austria.
Yep. That's
the Von Trapp family global warming, if you will.
Right. And just to give you a little more perspective, there's initial projections for nitrogen trifluoride production next year suggest that there'll be around 8,000 metric tons of this stuff made in order to make these various devices. So this is 8,000 metric tons that eventually will enter the environment. It may be years and years from now when people start throwing their LCD displays away and they, you know, rupture or whatever. It might be a while before this stuff actually makes it into the environment. But you multiply 8,000 metric tons by 17,000 times the strength of carbon dioxide as far as a greenhouse gas goes, you end up with 136 million tons equivalent of carbon dioxide. Now, that sounds like a lot, all right? I'm not going to lie. The 136 million, that's metric tons. That's a lot of tons.
Yeah.
But in 2005, the United States produced nearly 6 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide from energy consumption. That's everything from coal firing to, you know, everything as far as energy production and consumption goes.
including the energy that you would need to, you know, say, run your LCD devices.
Right, maybe? Exactly. Yeah, okay. So 6 billion versus 136 million. I mean, that's still, you're talking about so many, you know, orders of magnitude, but that doesn't mean that we should ignore this nitrogen trifluoride problem.
You know, on my gut feeling here, I think it's sort of like the trans fat thing where when it popped up, people all of a sudden went, oh, well, you know, I had no idea that was going on. And they, you know, now that it's starting to, you know, show up in the public consciousness, then now we're going to have to find some other solution that isn't, you know, perfluorocarbons or something else to make LCDs, because, you know, in the long run, the LCD is more energy efficient than a cathode ray tube or, you know, some of the other devices that it is replacing. So,
right.
You know, it's,
yeah, it's a balancing act.
You're going to have to find some other solution to.
Well, the other thing is that when you're looking at something like LCD displays, that seems like it's a much more manageable problem than reducing huge amounts of carbon dioxide emissions. It's at least something that we can take steps to fix. You know, it's not a problem that's so huge that you just look at it and goggle and wonder, what do I do? Although I should also point out this gas, it's kind of ironic. It's also used in the production of photovoltaic cells, also known as solar panels.
Oh, yes.
So even when we're trying to be environmentally conscious and use renewable energy sources, we may be in the production of those sources, we might be doing some pretty severe damage to our environment.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably enough depression for one podcast, don't you?
Yeah, I'm thoroughly worn out.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you guys are too. So if you would like to learn more about LCDs, read our article on how LCDs work at howstuffworks.com. And we'll talk to you again soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.